Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. John Mosier's Grant A Biography is a concise military biography of Ulysses S. Grant, published as part of the Great General series associated with General Wesley K. Clark. Rather than offering an exhaustive cradle-to-grave account, Mosier concentrates on Grant as a commander and argues that his military ability has often been underestimated. The book places Grant within the broader history of strategy, comparing his Civil War performance with prominent European commanders and challenging interpretations that portray him as merely persistent, lucky, or dependent on superior resources. Mosier emphasizes Grant's calm under pressure, practical intelligence, operational imagination, and ability to adapt classical principles to the technological realities of 19th century warfare. The presidency and personal life receive more limited attention, serving mainly to frame Grant's public career. The result is a focused, revisionist study aimed at readers interested in military leadership, Civil War strategy, and the reassessment of Grant's historical reputation. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Grant as a military genius rather than a commander of attrition. A central purpose of Mosier's biography is to challenge the long-standing view that Grant won mainly because the Union had more men, money, and material. Mosier presents Grant not as a blunt instrument of industrial war, but as a strategist whose achievements deserve comparison with famous commanders such as Wellington and Napoleon. This argument matters because it shifts attention from casualty counts and broad material advantages to operational design. Grant's campaigns were not simply repeated frontal attacks. They were efforts to break the Confederacy into smaller, less sustainable theaters, and to deny Confederate forces the ability to recover strategic initiative. Mosier treats Grant's victories in the West, especially the campaigns connected with the Mississippi River, as evidence of a mind able to identify decisive pressure points. The book, therefore, reads as a thesis biography, using Grant's record to dispute inherited assumptions. Its force lies in making readers reconsider whether persistence alone can explain sustained success across multiple theaters. Secondly, operational vision in the Civil War's Western Theater. Mosier gives particular importance to Grant's work in the Western Theater because it shows his talent for linking local battlefield action to larger strategic consequences. Rather than treating each engagement as an isolated episode, the book emphasizes how Grant understood rivers, railways, fortified positions, and supply lines as parts of a single operational system. And the capture of Confederate strongholds along the Mississippi is significant in this interpretation because it helped divide the Confederacy geographically and economically. Grant's generalship is therefore presented as spatial and cumulative. Each success narrowed the enemy's options, weakened internal communication, and opened room for further Union movement. This perspective also explains why Mosier resists reducing Grant to a commander who simply accepted losses. The relevant measure is not whether individual battles were costly, but whether they advanced a coherent strategic purpose. By highlighting the Western campaigns, Mosier gives readers a clearer view of why Grant rose above many contemporaries who thought in terms of single battles or defensive positions. Thirdly, adapting classical strategy to modern military technology. The biography stresses Grant's ability to combine older military principles with the changed conditions of 19th century war. The Civil War was fought with rail transport, steam power, improved weapons, telegraph communication, and large citizen armies. Mosier argues that Grant understood these developments practically rather than theoretically. He did not abandon classical concerns such as maneuver, concentration, pressure, and the destruction of enemy capacity, but he applied them through the tools available in his own era. This is one of the book's more distinctive claims, because it positions Grant as an innovator rather than a commander who merely benefited from Northern industrial strength. Grant's use of movement, logistics, and coordinated pressure reflected the capacity to see how technology changed the scale and tempo of operations. Mosier's treatment is accessible because it avoids dense technical language while still showing that military success depends on more than courage or numerical superiority. In this reading, Grant's originality lies in making modern systems serve strategic ends. Fourthly, command temperament under pressure and battlefield uncertainty. Mosier devotes attention to Grant's personal style of command, especially his composure, modesty, and ability to act amid uncertainty. These traits are not treated as decorative character details. They are central to the military argument. Civil War commanders often operated with incomplete information, difficult terrain, political pressure, and unreliable communications. A general who panicked, delayed, or overcomplicated decisions could lose the initiative even with strong resources. Mosier presents Grant as unusually steady in such conditions. His calmness under fire and capacity to visualize terrain helped him make decisions that were direct without being simplistic. This portrait also counters stereotypes of Grant as passive or merely stubborn. Persistence in Mosier's account is valuable because it is connected to judgment. Grant continued pressure when pressure served a strategic purpose, and he did not allow temporary reverses to define the campaign. The book's leadership dimension emerges here, showing how temperament can shape operational effectiveness when plans meet friction, danger, and imperfect knowledge. Lastly, a revisionist reassessment of Grant's reputation and presidency. Although the book is primarily about Grant the soldier, Mosier also participates in a broader reassessment of Grant's public reputation. For much of American historical writing, Grant was often overshadowed by Robert E. Lee as a battlefield figure and judged harshly as president. Mosier's biography pushes against that imbalance by foregrounding Grant's actual record of military achievement and by questioning criteria that rank him below more celebrated commanders. The presidency receives relatively brief treatment, but Mosier suggests that it too has been undervalued in common memory. This limited coverage is important for understanding the book's scope. Readers looking for a full political biography will not find one here, while readers interested in the construction of historical reputation will find a clear intervention. Mosier's method is to synthesize earlier judgments, challenge assumptions, and place Grant in a wider military tradition. The result is not a neutral survey of every aspect of Grant's life, but a concentrated argument for his elevated place in military history. In conclusion, Grant: A Biography is best suited for readers who want a compact, argument-driven study of Grant as a military commander, rather than a comprehensive account of his entire life. It will be especially useful to students of the Civil War, readers interested in leadership under pressure, and those who want to understand why Grant's military reputation has changed over time. Its practical value lies in its attention to command judgment, operational focus, technological adaptation, and the disciplined use of resources toward strategic ends. Its intellectual value lies in its revisionist challenge to familiar narratives that portray Grant as a commander of attrition or as a beneficiary of overwhelming Union advantage. Compared with larger biographies, such as broad studies that devote substantial space to Grant's family life, failures, politics, and presidency, Mosier's book is narrower and more polemical. That narrowness is also its strength. The book stands out in the military biography category because it offers a clear thesis, minimal jargon, and a comparative framework that places Grant among major commanders beyond the American context. Readers seeking exhaustive detail may need a fuller biography alongside it, but readers seeking a sharp reassessment of Grant's generalship will find it a focused and accessible contribution. If you would like to support John Mosier, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.